This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is opening day. I mean, a little John Fogerty, a little center field, and we got opening day. And I will say I'm wearing my Marlins jersey. Doesn't look like Crowder is decked out for opening day. What are you wearing there? Anything?
I got a Bucks hat on, but next segment I will have a Marlins hat on because I'm
all right. Room. All right, very good. Oh, Solana, you are wearing a little Marlins shirt. I didn't see that.
Hell yeah, baby. Opening Marlins day, Hawk. Come there. On. Come on.
And, of course, Jimmy is decked out. He's got the T-shirt. He's got the old school ball cap. Here's the amazing thing. And I do point this out most opening days when we're on the radio. It feels so different in New York, Chicago, St. Louis. And I'm not just saying, listen, when you've got a chance to win the pennant and you've got, you know, hopes, and most teams, aside from and Chicago happens to be one of the teams that doesn't have any chance. I'm talking about the White Sox. Cubs fans are probably a little bit excited, although they lost to in Japan to start the season. But regardless, there is so little hope. It is what it is. I like opening day. I if you follow me on Twitter, I woke up this morning. I opened the Hard Rock app, and I bet $50 on Matt Mervis to hit a ding dong today. That's how excited I was. I was like, let me see if the player props are posted. I'm in it to win it. We're gonna watch the game start at 4:00. We'll just kind of watch it as we do the show. But really, opening day in cities. I'm not even saying it has to be baseball rich cities. Cities who feel like they have a chance to do something special that season. It's just a different feeling than a lot of Miami is probably feeling today.
It's not special because last year, remember on opening day, I was in Cincinnati doing interviews for the podcast. And I was downtown, the Cincinnati Reds, who haven't won a damn thing in decades. The city was crazy. Restaurants were closed. Everybody was pouring in the streets like, I saw it last year. We talked about it on the show a year ago or somewhere around a year ago today. Yeah, we don't have the opening day festivities that other people have. But Cincinnati, that little downtown place, I think we're interviewing. That's when we did Joe Burrow. I was down there to interview Joe Burrow, and I was just coincidentally there when the opening day of the Reds. Man, it was nuts. I think I moved my flight back to the next morning just to hang out.
Yeah, it is in baseball-rich cities. I will tell you, it is something special. And when you feel like you have a chance during that baseball season, it becomes even more special. And it just, it's going to be what it is this year for the Marlins. I enjoy baseball season. Like I said, I'm going to watch the game starting at 4:10, and I'm going to root for good things for the Marlins this season. I've adopted Matt Mervis as my guy. Sandy Alcantara will be pitching today, which is nice. There's reasons to look forward to going to Lone Depot Park this season, aside from what you might see on the field. But that's, you know, not the way that most people have to approach opening day, which is like, when's Flanagan's Day at my local ballpark? But it is what it is. It's opening day. I love opening day. By the way, today, Jim Larrañaga is going to join us. He always joins us on Thursdays. Sweet 16 starts tonight. And so college basketball back into full swing, the tournament. Oh, your Florida Gators play tonight.
Oh, man. Listen, now, y'all, I've adopted the Canes. Can y'all adopt the Gators?
I'll ride with the Gators for the Sweet 16. I got no other rooting interest. I'll ride with you on the Sweet 16, because it was fun a couple seasons ago when Coach L had us in the Sweet 16 and then the Elite Eight and then the Final Four. That was fun. Giselle Espinales is going to join us today. She'll be at Lone Depot Park. She has sampled some of the new Marlins food items, and she was there yesterday when Sandy Alcantara met with the media and Clayton McCullough, and so we'll get into opening day mood with her. We'll play some of our Take Me Out to the Ball Games today. That's a tradition on this show, unlike any other. We've got another pair of tickets for The Offspring. They're coming with Jimmy Eat World and Newfound Glory, bringing their supercharged tour to I Think Financial Amphitheater in West Palm Beach in July. It's a Live Nation show. We've got another pair of tickets to give away for that. I'm watching FanDuel Sports Network, by the way, right now. They're interviewing Xavier Edwards from the Marlins. And this is a national FanDuel show. They're doing a national countdown, and then it'll be like Marlins game day or whatever they call it, and then some Marlins action. But we got baseball today.
I have his cell phone number.
That's your guy.
That's my buddy. Channing goes to his summer camp. He went last year. He's going to come this year too. But yeah, Xavier Edwards is a good dude.
Yeah, they're interviewing him right now. Oh, maybe it has switched to Marlins baseball. I don't know. Or maybe they're just having Kyle Seeloff interview him for the national show. Let's get headlines. Start out today's program. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
I'm riding with Testudo, Terrapins, Goat Turtles. I'm not riding with the Gators. Sorry.
I hate you.
Sorry, Crowder.
Yeah, I don't like to ride with the Gators, but for Crowder's sake, he's been a good partner when it comes to the Hurricanes. Oh. So I'll do this for him.
So y'all get in my boat when y'all are drowning, but y'all, you're not gonna get in my boat when I'm drowning. But y'all ain't worth a damn.
What did you just say?
I don't know. He's drowning, but he's in his boat.
If I'm drowning, I'm going to let y'all in my boat. The Canes are drowning, and y'all can get in the Gator boat, but y'all don't want to jump in my boat when I jumped in y'all's boat. I think this is a one-way relationship.
I'm in the boat.
Solana.
I'm out.
So Lana actually went on a boat with you, an actual boat.
I did.
And Dan Day laid on top of him. I don't know what was going on.
I'm riding with the Crab Five, Goat Turtles, Scott Van Pelt, Crab Cakes and Football, and Basketball. Goat Terrapins tonight, baby.
All right.
I can't believe you.
Like a crab cake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without a lot of filler.
Crab cakes are good.
More crab than cake, you know?
Yeah, that's what they want to do. Put all the cornmeal in there. Who wants a bunch of cornmeal? Yeah. Give me crab.
Order a cornmeal cake. Where's the crab?
All
You guys want your Marlins starting lineup, opening day starting lineup?
I thought about it, but no.
Okay. I wanted Zolano.
No, I swear to God, because I was looking at the lineup. Still have a chest cold. I was looking at the lineups today, and I was like, should I mark this on my show sheet? Should I go over the starting lineup? And then I thought, no, because there's no one there. There's Matt Mervis.
What? It's Sandy on the mound. Mervis, I don't even know what position he plays.
He can play first base, doesn't he?
Matt Mervis is the first baseman.
There you go.
Xavier Edwards is shortstop.
Shortstop, right?
Wow, all right. Yeah. You guys are on the money here, baby.
What you got, Hawk?
I mean, that's literally it for me. I don't think I could name another. I mean, Griffin Conine, but I don't think he's starting, is he?
He is today.
He is.
Because Paul Skenes, I believe, is a lefty, you got a bunch of lefties in today in the starting lineup. That's what I gather from all the beat reporters talking about the starting lineup, because there were some surprises.
Clayton McCullough getting cutesy already.
Yeah, very cutesy.
Oh, the Cuban guy, the second baseman.
Who is it?
Otto Lopez.
Otto Lopez. He played like he was started last year.
By the way, Paul All Skenes right. is a righty. So I maybe
Nailed
I
it. Mis-
perhaps I may have misinterpreted why the Marlins are starting a bunch of left-handed batters in their starting lineup today. But that does make sense, right? You go lefties against the righty. We got it.
Nailed it.
Well, okay.
Baseball expertise unlike any other program.
Do you guys want to know what Sandy Alcantara gifted the clubhouse today for opening day?
Yeah, I saw this. I thought it was interesting. Go ahead.
According to Mike Cuno, everybody in the clubhouse got Johnny Walker Blue Label, bottles of Johnny Walker Blue Label.
Nah. He makes a lot of money. I don't know if that. Yeah, I could give Blue Label to everybody.
But I've never heard of an opening day gift before. It's a strange thing for me. Like I've never heard.
It's a departure gift because he knows what's about to happen.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I honestly thought when I saw that, I'm like, well, why don't you just wait till you're leaving? Like, it is obviously a departure gift, but also it might be a little. I don't know, a little troll of the organization, like, hey, you guys are going to need to be hammered all season long because you're not going to remember what you just went through for the last 162 games.
So, Sandy Hawk, you know what? I think you got – Sandy got a little petty with this one.
Like, hey. I'm going to either get you all neuralizers from Men in Black or just a bottle of vodka.
You know what? I hate to say it, but I think you're right. Yeah, hey, I'm holler at y'all. Here goes some Johnny Walker on the way out.
It's also just a weak sauce gift, if you ask me. I mean, he went blended whiskey, really, Sandy? I mean, at least go with single malt. Get him a Macallan, 18-year. I mean, that bottle of Blue Label is what, $215 at Total Wine? I mean, come on.
I was gonna say Johnny Walker Blue is about. So, yeah, $250,
$300. Nah, it's
like, he's getting that for like 40 teammates, right?
Yeah, but Hawk, I mean, the guy's going to get a lot of money soon, and he's made a lot of money, hasn't he?
Where?
Yeah, $200.
Bro, he signed
like $8,000 in gifts that he just gave people on opening day.
He's about the first. He's going to make $8,000 on the first pitch tonight.
Yeah, man. Hawk, he
guy hasn't played in the season and a half because he was so injured.
Hawk, he got paid last year for not playing.
He signed like a $50 million contract a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, just send him all your bills if you feel like spending all his money, Solana. Just send him your mortgage.
I'm just saying, like.
It's so stand up of you to spend all of Sandy Alcantara's money.
You make $50 million. Yeah. You're gifting people whiskey.
I just want to make sure I have this correct. Mm-hmm. Sandy Alcantara the only player who gave his teammates opening day gifts. Mm-hmm. That was wrong, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he cheaped out.
It should have been more.
Let's be honest. He cheaped out. Go McCallum. Okay. Go single malt.
Not just give them cash? Why not just give, maybe not everybody drinks?
I would prefer $300 in cash over Blue Label. I mean, that's crazy, man. That's disrespectful if we're being 100% honest. The Marlins should trade him now.
I hope that he sees you and hits you across the face with one of those bottles.
Hawk, just to Solana's point now, and I hate jumping on his side.
Don't spend another man's money.
No, Hawk, but when I finish talking,
that's exactly what you're about to do. Don't spend another man's money.
Solana's going to say something crazy that makes me regret this. Blue Label is $200. McCallum 25 is $2,500. You're Sandy Alcantara. Get them McCallum 25. Like, you're Sandy Alcantara.
$2,500 gifts for these kids were in the minors who he doesn't even know them?
41.
No,
because
give it to him.
Clayton McCullough probably deserves two bottles, if we're being honest. And Crowder, you'll agree with me here. People who drink Blue Label think they know a lot about whiskey or scotch. You're drinking.
Talk about Blue Label and single malt blend anymore because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I want to get to Coach Larinaga, who actually knows things about things. He's lived life. They're single getting some barrel. Sort of lesson here from a guy who's probably had two glasses of scotch in his life.
So we're just throwing everything in a pool and seeing what comes out.
Pretty much
single barrel.
Blended scotch. Get out of here with that, Sandy. It's almost worse than Coachella handing basketballs out on Halloween.
Which happens to be the best Halloween gift in the history of Halloween.
Don't give a guy a fish, teach him how to fish. I love Coach L's Halloween gifts.
Forgot Coach L's.
Who would you rather have? A Mounds bar that's gone 2 years. He gave it to you 2 years ago. It's gone the next day. The basketball you still have.
Mm-hmm. Now
I got my kids two Snicker protein bars after basketball practice today, and I think they hate me.
Yeah, those can't be good protein bars.
But it was like I was going to trick them, like, this is a Snicker, but it was a protein bar, and, like, I thought I could fudge that, and, yeah, they were like, Daddy, this is nasty. And then I just cussed and said, eat the damn bar.
I mean, I'm going house to house for a Snickers bar. All of a sudden, now I'm in a dribbling drill on my way back home. Happy opening day, ladies and gentlemen. Go Marlins. The Heat play the Hawks tonight, 7:30. Duncan and Burks are questionable. Trae Young, probable. Heat trying to win three straight. LeBron James hit a game winner yesterday with a tenth of a second left on the game clock, but nobody cares about it anymore because he and Stephen A. have reignited a feud.
I mean, crazy. It has gotten crazy.
Y'all better not fool with Stephen A. He gonna swing on you. Say something crazy.
I heard.
Let him touch me. It's over.
I heard. I like that. I like all the bravado. I thought of Coach L. I was watching the Lakers game last night. I thought of Coach L because he loves, obviously, basketball IQ. Like LeBron, there's so many people who would be in position for that little tap-in. But I don't think a ton would be so uber aware of the clock that they know to get their hand off the ball so quickly. Like, it was such a high basketball IQ tap-in. And I'm telling you, there's not a lot of guys that have that kind of awareness.
That was a old man mistake.
No, stop it. Stop it. That guy's got the best
LeBron
basketball IQ.
The LeBron game winner was IQ and amazingness.
Yes.
That was an old fat dude standing under the rim
Absolutely
trying to get a
not,
rebound
because
he didn't score no damn point.
tap in because he had to take his ball, his hand off the ball so quickly. We'll let Coach Al decide.
Let's let him decide.
All right.
Tonight, the Sweet 16, it gets underway at 7 p.m. BYU and Alabama, that's the 6 and the 2 seed. Maryland, Florida, 7:30. That'll be on TBS, Crowder. Arizona Duke, the 4-1, is at 9:30 following BYU Alabama on CBS. Arkansas, Texas Tech, the 10 and a 3 seed on TBS following Maryland beating Florida. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy. Nice afternoon in South Florida. Sun is out. Tonight, the lows will be in the low 70s, upper 60s. That is your weather.
I'm rolling with you tonight, Crowder. I'm rolling with the Gators tonight. Just for you.
My man.
We're going to be at Gulfstream Park tomorrow doing the show. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Gulfstream Park. Coach L should come out and join us. Why not? What's better than a day at the track and chopping it up with Hockman and Crowder? I mean,
he don't like us like that.
Maybe he does. Honestly. Maybe he does.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Baseball.
Hawk and Crowder.
All music that connotes baseball today, opening day. Jim Larrañaga, friend of the show for many years. He joins us every week on Thursdays. We talk a little college hoops or NBA or movies or whatever else he feels like talking about. And Jim Larrañaga is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And I was talking to him off the air, and he's like, I'd love to talk about opening day, but you correct me if I'm wrong. You grew up in the Bronx, right? You're a Bronx guy. I mean, Yankees opening day had to be like religion where you were growing up.
Well, you guys crack me up. You don't even know the starting lineup. And for the Marlins, you're supposed to be Marlins fans. I can tell you the starting lineup for the Yankees back in 1960. Whitey Ford was on the mound. Yogi Berra, Moose Scourin, Bobby Richardson at second, Tony Kubek at shortstop, Cleet Boyer at third base, Roger Maris in right, Mickey Mantle in its center, and Hector Lopez, he was in the left field. So how can you not know the starting lineup for day one? The season's just beginning. There should be a lot of excitement.
I would like to say that that's an indictment on the Marlins not putting together a quality lineup, but it's really not. It's more of an indictment on our sports knowledge, because I don't think any of us could name the first line for the Panthers. I don't think we could name the starting lineup for the Heat two nights ago against Golden State. We just happen to be a show that's devoid of a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, well, you do know the Heat won, and that was a terrific win. They sent Golden State Warriors home with an L. So I'm happy for that. They've won two in a row. They've got I wouldn't be surprised by the end of this month that they're on a 5-game winning streak. They got some teams ahead of them. If they continue to play well, you know, they could be back making a run into the playoffs on a high note.
Coach, do you still keep up with the baseball? You still keep up with your Yanks, or it's a lot of life ahead of you.
No. That was 60, 70 years ago.
Is it similar? Because, you know, I always talk to you about the movie A Bronx Tale, which I think is a fantastic movie. And you've said, nah, it's whatever. But he would ride on the bus. Colodro would ride on the bus with Robert De Niro, and they would talk about the Yankees. I mean, doesn't that take you back?
Well, it does in one sense. That I was 10, 11, 12 years old while the Yankees were winning the World Series. And all my friends, of course, were into baseball. We didn't watch it. We listened to it on a transistor radio. Now that's how crazy it was back then. There was no internet. You couldn't follow it on your phone like you can do now. But, you know, baseball was the sport back when I was young. I became a basketball player because the Lakers and the Celtics were playing in the NBA Finals every year. And Jerry West and John Havlicek became my role models.
And Coach, as Hawk asked about A Bronx Tale, I gotta ask you, because you're just you've been around, you've done so many things. Is it like the movies? I've never lived in New York. Do the Right Thing and A Bronx Tale and all that stuff. Like, what are your stereotypes about New York are right and wrong?
Yeah, I think they're all right. you watch the Godfather trilogy? Oh, that happened.
Yes,
you know? Just go on Netflix and watch the the John Gotti story, the Teflon Don. I mean, it's true. All the movies don't actually, they don't even have the capability of making it exactly the way it was because it was so brutal.
Let me ask you a couple things that we were talking about. I got to bounce around here with you.
Yep.
We were talking in the first segment about LeBron James, the tip-in last night.
Yeah, great.
I'm attributing that to high basketball IQ to know that you have a millisecond to tip in and get your hand off that ball because they're going to look at it frame by frame. Crowder says that's a typical putback. He happened to be in the right spot, right time. Anyone can do that, right, Crowder? I'm not mischaracterizing
it. He boxed out his player and just tipped the ball back in. That wasn't an amazing play.
But I'm saying to know that the tip-in, there's 1/10 of a second left on the clock after the missed shot by Luka, to know that it can't be your typical make sure you lay it in, let's let Coach Larrañaga decide.
Well, my initial reaction when hearing it during the first segment was you're both right. First of all, players, you know, especially the great players, they have a clock in their head as to how much time is left in the game and what they should be thinking. And, you know, when the shot goes up, LeBron knows there's so little time left that either shot goes in or you tip it in. You don't have time, obviously, to do this. Come down with a very strong rebound and power it up and still make it, you know, a game-winning shot. No, you're going to have to tip this in if there's even time left. So it becomes very much an instinct, something that you've done over and over again. Okay, the game's winding down. We need this bucket. If the shot doesn't go in, I'm tipping this in. So LeBron did a great job.
Who do you think they were talking about this? They were debating this on ESPN. I think it was yesterday morning. Who goes further in the playoffs? Golden State with Steph and Jimmy, or the Lakers with LeBron and Luka?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, one of the things about trades and everything, you're wondering how they'll work out. I think the Lakers are probably very well suited for a long series. I think Steph and Jimmy Butler and figuring that out, I like the Lakers' chances better. I think the Golden State Warriors have enough talent, but in a long series, I think you can figure it out. I think that the talent of a LeBron with Luka is going to pay dividends for the Lakers.
And, Coach, with the age of those guys, because it's funny, we love LeBron. LeBron's 40. Me and LeBron are the same age. We're 40-plus. And Steph's old as hell, too, Coach. Like, That dynamic of those guys having this grinding season, how does Steve Kerr, how do they deal with it? You know, like with that, the age thing, and you know the, what's it called, the load management and all that stuff.
Yeah. But
to that question with Hawk, where it's like, hey, these dudes are old as well. They're going to play another 12 game, 15 games, 21 games. Like, how do they deal with that, with those players that are, I would say, in the sunset of their career?
Yeah, that's why. That's one of the things, because the playoffs are a long grind, and Jimmy Butler's not a young guy anymore either. So Luka Doncic, no, he's still a youngster. He's like 25, 26 years old. So I think that's an advantage. I think in the playoffs, though, one of the differences is you get time off in between games. You know, you're not playing back to back. You're not jumping on your jet and flying to the next location. So I think for the older guys, they can manage their time and their bodies better during the playoffs. But as the playoffs continue, it's going to take its toll. I think LeBron he's a superhuman. I mean, there's nobody in the history of basketball at 40 years old. You know, Kareem played until I think he was 42. But Kareem had his own unique style of play. LeBron does everything. You know, he's handling the ball. He's shooting threes. He's driving to the basket. He's playing defense all over the court, switching on to smaller guards. So I think the Lakers are in good position to make a run.
Coach, there's this constant debate, probably a larger discussion, but about the state of basketball. Mid-range is almost discouraged, especially at the NBA level. It's all driving kick, hunt for mismatches, get to the rim and shoot corner threes. Do you have any concerns about the state of the game or how it's evolved or how it's evolving?
Well, I think the game itself is pretty healthy. I think there's going to be, you know, some discussion about rule changes at the college level. I will be very surprised if the college game doesn't go to four quarters soon, because no other basketball league plays halves. The women play four quarters. Europe plays four quarters. The NBA plays four quarters. G League plays four quarters. So I wouldn't be surprised if we go to four quarters and a 24-second clock. I think that'll be typical. But I'm very, very concerned about college basketball becoming professional basketball without having the professional basketball guidelines, the rules. I think if college basketball is going to survive the NIL and the portal, they need to have a really specific set of rules. Antitrust rules, laws that allow colleges to have some transparency. It's great that the kids are being paid. They should make a salary. It should be employment, just like an NBA guy.
And, Coach, Slana, it's crazy you asked that question because I thought about it last night. Last night, Coach, I was watching Bol Bol, who's 8'9" somewhere, and he kept shooting from the outside. Yeah. Are big guys like Kendall? Is there big guys ever again? Like, it's funny what you bring up, Kareem. Like the Kareems, the Shaqs, the guys that get down there and grind in the paint. Is that gone from basketball? Because threes are more points than twos, obviously.
Well, you know, three is more than two, but the whole key is the ball going in the basket. You know, Solana said that, you know, the mid-range games is you know, non-existent anymore. Well, if you make a foul line jump shot, that's 2 points. You make a layup, it's 2 points. Now, if you hit the three, okay, you get an extra point for that. But I think, like, I work with my grandsons. I talk to my grandsons. I talk to my college players throughout. I think you should have an all-around game. Your game should include threes, free throws, mid-range shots, driving layups, back to the basket. Big guys don't want to play with their back to the basket. The big guys want to shoot threes. They're envious of the guards because the guards bring the ball up and just jack a three. Big guys want to do that. And it's become the popular thing to do, and it's all because of analytics. All the analytics experts say, hey, you should shoot more threes because a three is worth more than two. Well, that's great if you make them. But the other day, I can't remember, I think it was St. John's versus Arkansas. Both teams went like 2 for 19 from three. Oh, but I know you guys, hey, Crowder, I know you're pulling for the Gators today, huh? They got a big matchup with the Terps. Solana's got the Terps. So my really good friend, Ralph Willard, his son is the coach. Kevin Willard is the coach of the Maryland Terrapins. But I'm an in-state Florida guy, so the Gators, nah. So here's my response.
Come on, coach.
Yeah, I want them both to lose.
Just pulled the rug out from under you.
Come on, coach.
Just completely.
The only team I ever cheer for is Miami. Yeah. No, everybody else can lose.
You have to. I mean, it was really almost 2 years ago to the day that the Sweet 16 started, and you ended up taking the Hurricanes to the Final Four. Does it feel like a lifetime ago? Does it feel like 2 years ago? Does it still give you chills thinking about it?
No, it feels like today, because when you flip on the social media, I was watching the highlights of our win over Houston and over Texas to get to the Final Four. I was reliving the whole scenario and loving it. The announcers, yes, listening to the excitement in the place, watching our players jump on each other and smile. One of the players giving me a kiss on the cheek. I was like, this is awesome.
That was heaven. That was absolute heaven. You know,
and coach, as they're going through it, you've been through it, like you say, you've been to the Final Four. Like, the build up to it, the players, the coaching, what does it go through to go to the 32, to the 16, to the 8, to the 4? Like, what's that process mentally and physically on the kids.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing, and this is an expression all coaches use, mental is to physical as 4 is to 1. Meaning the mental part of the game is 4 times more important than the physical. Every team in the Sweet 16 today is physically talented enough to win tonight and tomorrow. But how are you mentally? Are you feeling good? Are you going to be able to control your emotions? If you saw in the game the other day where emotions that both teams were feeling, one team is celebrating and the other team is just shot. I mean, just the fire went out. They can't believe they're no longer playing. And after you win 2 national championships in a row, you can understand their emotion. You know, you can understand players crying, coaches upset. You know, it's just the nature. It's what makes March Madness the best sporting event for 3 weeks in the world.
I don't think anyone would argue that. What is it? Is opening day, and we got to let you go, Coach. And you're a movie buff, though. What's the greatest baseball movie of all time? Is it Field of Dreams?
No. In my mind, it's like Major League with Tom Hanks.
Really?
Oh, I love that movie.
Tom Hanks who's made it?
A League of Our Own.
Oh, League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own.
Really?
Not Major
League. Baseball. What? There's no crying in baseball.
Some of the stuff that could. Tom Hanks, did he win the Academy Award for that role? He deserved it. The guy was amazing.
Really? Better than Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams. Kind of lame.
I like Field of Dreams. Don't get me wrong. And I think Kevin Costner is a tremendous actor as well. But the concept, okay. Field of Dreams is kind of like every little kid's dream growing up, to play in the major leagues and the way that whole story is told. I never knew anything about women's baseball during World War II. Did you?
No, I still haven't seen the movie, so I still don't know anything about it.
The story of these women coming together and what they were going through at that time, you know, the whole concept of women's baseball blew my mind.
I can't even imagine that's a top 5 Tom Hanks movie of all time.
Tom Hanks is a baseball movie. Tremendous. That might not even be top 5 because he's done so many great movies.
Yeah. 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 All right. Jim Larranaga, we love talking to you, Coach, on Thursdays. We always appreciate your time. And we are rooting hard against the Gators with you tonight, Coach.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Coach. Coach Jim Larranaga. He pulled the rug out from right under you. He laid it up there and then swatted it away.
Hawk, man, yo, you got to stop doing these pre-interview talks because I think you swayed him a certain way.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
There's no crying in baseball.
Hawk and Crowder.